I was thinking, since we're not going to complete the whole parak anyway, maybe we should learn now Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Towards the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, when the lines begin to get wide, because the Gemara in between is not that relevant. Those are side topics. On Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses a famous topic. Omar Rav, on the first wide line, Omar Rav, the Gemara quotes the name of Rav. Amakadesh b'milve einu mekudeshes. The Gemara is talking about the following case. The boy and the girl know each other for a long time. And the boy had lent the girl money in the past. Let's say the girl owes the boy $10 from a long time back. And then they become friendly. And the boy tells the girl, Hariat mekudeshes li with the $10 that I had lent you. And she didn't spend it yet. She still has the cash. She didn't spend it yet. So Rav wants to know, is that good for Kiddushin or not? Let's say if a man would give his wife a get, so a man writes a get to his wife, planning to divorce her. And then, let's say he gives her the get, shaloi l'shem gerush, he gives her the get to hold on to. Look at it, see what it looks like, whatever, it's an interesting thing. Look it over. And then a week later, he tells her, after she read the whole get, and she knows what it's all about, then he says, you still have the get? And she says, yes. He says, Hariat Mugureshis Mimeni. The get should serve as a gerushin. So the din would be in that case that it's no good. Because the Gemara says in Gittin, Omar Rav, Tali Gitach Ma'agabi Karka is no good. If the husband puts the get on the table or on the floor and he tells the wife to pick it up, that's not a valid gerushin, because the Chumash says, V'nasan V'yoda, you have to do a Ma'is Nesina. The Nesina has to, here there wasn't a Nesina though. Here he gave her the get originally a week ago to look at it, and then today he says, Hariat Mugureshis Mimeni, that's no good. You have to have the Nesina should do the Shem Gerushin. You have to do the act of Nesina for the purpose of Gerushin. So by get it would certainly be no good. But by Kiddushin, we generally assume that Tali Kiddushach Magabi Karka would be good. It's a question. Some Rishonim and some Poskim say it's no good, but we usually assume that it is good. That this requirement of Nesina, that Tali Kiddushach Magabi Karka is no good, is only a din in get. In Kiddushi Kesef it would be good. I said, last week we discussed that by Kiddushin you don't really need Haknoi, you need Nesina. But the Chumash doesn't say Vinasa. So it's also called a Nesina. When he puts, let's say, when he puts the ring on the table and he tells the girl, pick up the ring, L'shem Kiddushin, Hariat Mekudesh is Mimeni, you can have the ring. So we would assume that it would be a good Kiddushin. So that's what the Gemara discusses here. The boy had lent the girl $10 a long time ago. L'shem Havor, not L'shem Kiddushin. And she didn't spend any of the money yet. And now they decide to get married, and he says, Hariat Mekudeshes li with the $10 bill that you still have. So Rav says that that's not good for Kiddush. Einu Mekudeshes, because milveh lo haitzua nitno. The money that he had given her is lo haitzua nitno. The money was given for the purpose of spending. What does that mean?
He might
hold a chayv
to her?
Yeah. He says you can keep the $10.
Why do you
think
she still has that $10? Why she spend it?
If she spent it already, then you can't apply these words. I'll explain why I said that. It says on the right hand side of the Gemara, on the side when it says Amar Rav Hamakadosh Mulve, it says Le'el Davov Amadeis V'Shom Nisma. It means that there it's listed off where else this is quoted. You look on Davov Amadeis and it's not exactly the same. And the Avov on the base, right in the middle of the daf, it's quoted in the name of somebody else. Omar Abaye. Abaye was much after Rav. Rav was a Talmud. Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Chiya, Aboshi were all Talmidim of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the first generation of Amaroi. Abaye was way later. So Abaye is quoted as saying the same thing, and he doesn't give the reason of Rav. He just makes a statement, Hamkadosh Menuveh, Einam Kudeshes, and then he goes ahead to make a contrast to other din. And he does, first of all, it's not Rav, it's Abai who was a later Amora. Why doesn't he just quote what Rav said? And secondly, he doesn't give the reasoning of Rav. Rav says, because milva lo haitzo nitno. And Abai doesn't give the reasoning. So the Achronim explain, Rav Shimon Shkop explains, and others explain, that's how Rav Soloveitchik also said in the Shiurim, that they seem to be speaking about two different things. If I lent the girl $10 and she spent the money already, now I say, sweetie, I want to marry you, I relieve you of the payment of the $10, you don't have to give it back, but hare, I'm a kudeshishli, by virtue of the fact that you don't have to pay me back $10, so that's what Abaye is speaking about on the Avovim base. Abaye says that that's no good, that's Hamakadosh B'milvim. But Rav is not talking about that. Why is that no good? Simply because he's not giving any kesef. You have to give you the kesef or shove kesef. You have to give you the cash or something that's shove pruto. He's not giving her any object, any tangible object now, so that's no good. He's saving her a payment of $10. He's relieving her of the debt. He's being moichel a debt of $10. In exchange for that, he wants her to become a kodesh. But he's not giving him any kesef. He didn't see us. He didn't even see us dova chodesh. You have to give a dova chodesh. That's called the kesef. He's not giving any kesef. But Rav on Daf Mem Zayin is talking about a different case where he lent the girl $10 and she still has the money. She didn't spend it yet. And he says, the $10 that I gave you that still belong to me is harem u'kodesh esli. Take, for example, the following case. Let's give a different case. I gave a case before the couple are married and the husband wrote a get to divorce his wife and he wants to tease her or whatever and he gives her the get and he says, study it over the weekend, look at it, it's an interesting thing, find out what it means, find out all about it. She holds the get for a week, for a month, whatever, and then he says, harem u'kodesh, you still have the get? She says, yeah, it's in my hand, in my pocket. He says, harem u'kodesh es mimeni begets there. So the din is it's no good there because it's a lack of nesina. And the Gemara says in the name of Rav and Gittin, the Tli Gitech Malgavi Karkav, the husband tells his wife, pick up the get from the floor, you take it, the husband holds the get. And he says, you take it from my hand, so that's no good. He has to do the nesina. She holds her hands open, and the husband puts the get into her hands, because it says Vinasa. By Kiddushin it would be good. Let's say the husband had a boy, has a ring. And he gives the girl a ring to look at. He says, take a look at the ring. Isn't it nice? And she's looking, looking, looking. Then he says, hold it for a week or two. At the end of the 2 weeks, he says, do you like the ring? You want to marry me? Harei mukadeshesli with the ring. So the Gemara says that that's good. You don't have to. There's no chison of Tali Kitush Malgabi Karak. That's how we assume, based on these Gemaras, it's okay. But here the Shaila is, he had lent her the $10 and he gave her permission to spend it. She just didn't spend it yet. Didn't find any bargains. She didn't go shopping yet. She didn't have a chance to spend his money yet.
But if he asks her whether she still has the money,
good, he asks her, do you still have the $10? She says, yes, she didn't spend yet. Then he says, good, harei mukodeshesli with the $10 that I lent you that you didn't spend yet. So the Gemara says, now it's no good. So the Shaila is why, but she didn't spend it yet. It's not like Abayi says on Davos, that the money was spent and is not seen as Dava Chodesh. Here there isn't seen as Dava Chodesh, the $10 that she has, that originally was given the Shem Halvor means if she spends it, she has to pay it back. Now he says, keep the $10 as a matana gemurah l'shem kiddushin. So why not consider the cash of the $10 now as the kesef kiddushin is giving her a davar chadash? So that's what Abai said. That's what Rav says. It's not his anymore. Milva lo itzo nitno.
Just to understand better, I want to understand. A more extreme example of the same thing would be this: that he gave her l'shem matana, and then he says afterwards, let the matana gave him kiddushin.
No. So then, no, that's not good.
That's not good.
Right.
It's
right. If he lent her the money,
it's not his anymore. We mean that. It's more better.
Right.
It's more chiddush.
That's a simple reading of Rav.
It's more chiddush, but right.
Right. That's what he's saying. That Rav is being mechadish. You shouldn't think that when I lend you money, what it means is that I'm giving you permission to spend my money. Because, man, you didn't spend it yet, it's still my money. So if you lent the girl $10, she didn't spend it yet. So she's still holding on to my money. So then I tell her before she spends it, you can keep the money, the shem kiddushin. So let's consider that like nesinas hakesef. There's a nesinas b'e, he's giving her the kesef now, the shem kiddushin. So Rav says, not true. Milva lo hitzo nitno. From the time that he lent her the money, the shem halvoeh, the money already belonged to the girl. So it's like he had given her matana before.
What if she's just holding the money for him?
She's not, that's what Rav says. Yeah, it's, let's say a shamer on a pikadon, right? Let's say a shamer on a pikadon. Let's say the girl works the cash register in my restaurant. And I'm single and she's single and she's holding on to the money, she has the money in her hand. So that money is mine, she's just a worker there, and I say, you see that money? You can keep it, keep the whole fistful of money. That would be good kiddushin. That's mamish my money. But if I lend her the money already in advance, so then Rav is mecharesh, the pshat in a halvo, when you lend cash to somebody else, when the malva lends money to the leiva, it doesn't mean that I'm giving permission, the malva is giving permission to the leiva to spend the malva's money. No, for the minute that the malva gives the cash to the leiva, it's milva l'hotzon nit, and the money already belongs to the leiva.
That's only with money, if it's a shoel and it's an object.
Shoel, then it would be good kiddushin, right? The Gemara is going to spell it out. Let's say I lend an object which the person has to return, the same object. And then afterwards, I say, you can keep the object, the shen kiddush, harei mukadesh esli. Then the Gemara says, it will be good. It's only by a law?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether with a shtar hava or without, it doesn't make any difference. The Gemara will discuss later different cases. What if somebody else owes me money? I'm the chassan, somebody else owes me money. Then I want to be mekadesh the girls. I say, Hareyat mekudeshes li, I hereby transfer to you the debt that the other person owes me $1,000. I give you the rights now to collect that debt. So the Gemara is going to discuss all the details. Will that be good for Kiddushin or not? But if the kala owes the chassan money, then it's never good for Kiddushin. Whether it's a milva bishtar, a milva alpeh, wouldn't make any difference. The question is, the Ramah in Choshe Mishpat has the following shaila. We have a din of Hashavas Aveda. It says in the Chumash, if somebody lost an article and someone else finds it, you know who belongs to it, it's a mitzvah to give it back. What if a Nachri lost an object? So there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. If a Nachri loses an object, so there's no mitzvah. Not only is there no mitzvah, the Gemara says that it's an Aveira to return the Aveda, because then you're demonstrating that you treat the Nachrim on the same level as the Israelim. And it's not allowed to be Zion, unless the purpose why you're returning it is in order to accomplish a Kiddush Hashem, or if there will be a Chil Hashem, if you won't return it, people will find out. If there will be a Chil Hashem, then you're certainly obligated to give it back. Or if you feel that you'll accomplish a Kiddush Hashem, then you're also obligated to give it back. The Medrash tells about Shimba Yichoi found a diamond jewel in the fish, he gave it back to the Nachri, and so on. He made a Kiddush Hashem, because they knew he was a rabbi, he was a Yisrael, and so on. But basically the din is, whenever there's no Kiddush Hashem, there's no Chil Hashem, then Havedas Nochri is muteris, you're permitted to keep. So the Ramah has the following shaila. The Yisrael is the banker, and all kinds of people come in to borrow money from the bank. So he lent $1,000 to a Nochri. And a Nochri was a shlemiel. The Akum is walking in the street, and he loses the money walking in the street. And then Geita Yid, another Yid is walking behind him, and he saw everything that happened. He saw this Nachri walked into the bank to borrow $1,000 from the Yidl, and Nachri's walking out in the street and he loses the money. So the shaila is, can the other Yidl walk over and pick up the $1,000 and pocket it himself or not? Is this labeled as Aveiras Akum? Or is this Aveiras Yisrael? He borrowed $1,000 from the Jewish banker and he didn't begin to spend a penny yet. And then the Nachri drops all the money. So based on this Gemara, and there aren't any other Gemaras, there are no more Gemaras, this is the whole Gemara and Shas. That's it. So what's the din? So based on this Gemara, the Yisrael, the money from the minute that the Jewish banker lent the money to the Nachri, belongs to the Nachri, belongs to the Nachri, the Nachri lost the money.
Maybe
he
sold the Chumash to a guy, same way.
Well, that's the
same way.
What happens if I sold the Chumash
to a guy, you're the banker. And the guy comes in, he buys you a nice chometz for me. Then he walks out, he drops it on the street, something like that. So,
okay.
Jew picks it up. And you have to
not the chometz, the money.
No, it's all my chometz now.
So the chometz belongs to the Nachri. So the chometz belongs to the Nachri. Okay, then the Nachri drops it.
But the Jew can't pay
it up. The same story as the money.
Why not? Should be the same thing.
But he can't pick it up because pay Pesach. How can he pick it up?
Okay. So based on this Gemara, we would have all said,
what's the difference between a sale and a loan? So what way does it differ?
A sale?
No, real lokeach and a loan.
Same thing. The lova is kona the money the minute that he borrows it, and he's obligated to pay back the same amount of money. But the money that he takes is 100% his. That's the pashtus. So the Ramah discusses this shaila. Hakum shalava ma'is mi Yisrael. The Nachri walked in, borrowed money from the Jewish banker, and he drops the money. Another Yisrael finds the money in the street. Is he mukhiv to return it or not? Zok the Ramah, yes. He has to return it to the Yisrael, the banker. It's Aveiras Yisrael. It's against the Gemara. No. It says it's Aveiras Yisrael.
Maybe the Jew will have a loss because the guy doesn't have the money that he can.
He won't want to pay back. He won't be able to pay back. He doesn't give any extraneous reasons. He just says because since the Nachri didn't begin to spend the money yet, the money still belongs to the Yisrael. So the Tumim, yes, Rabbi Yonasan Abish says it's in his commentary. It's befeirish against the Gemara. So he says it's not really against the Gemara. The Gemara never said what we read into the words of the Gemara. Then it's Rashi, those who learn Balmetzia. Rashi in the beginning of Balmetzia on Dav Dalet gives a startling comment on Agamor. No, the Rishonim say, what's going on? Rashi says the same as the Ramah in different words, in a different context. Rashi has a statement, all the Rishonim say, what's going on? What happened to the din of Milva Lo Hatzon Nitno? So really, if you read the Rashi carefully, the Rashi in Balmetzia, Rashi says, a Pashat Pshat, Rashi over here also. The klal is like this. In order to be a full owner of property, the Gemara says in Balzakamed, Daf Samachtes, and many other places, that you require 2 points. Number one, shalol, and number two, b'shusa. Let's say this chumash is mine. Shali, I paid for it, I walked off with it, I made a kinyan, I picked it up, I bought it, it's in my house, it's in my reshus, it's mine. Let's say somebody steals my chumash, and I don't know where in the world it is, but chumash still belongs to me. So can I make a kinyan to sell you the ownership of the chumash whenever it will be retrieved, whenever the ganav will return it, whenever the police will catch the ganav, and my property will be returned, so I'm making a kinyan with you that it should belong to you. It belongs to me, just because somebody stole it. Just because someone stole it, it doesn't make it that it's not mine. So Rabbi Yechanan says, it's not enough if it belongs to me. Right. The ganav certainly cannot sell it because it doesn't belong to him. And even the owner of it can also not sell it because it's ein b'shusam. That's Rabbi Yechanan's chiddush. That in order to be labeled as a full owner or full bialim on any given property of metaltalin, on karka if I own a house. So the Gemara says that karka ain't an exelus, that karka is always called b'shusam. If it's yours, if it belongs to you, then it's b'shusa. What happens? Let's say a ganef ran into your house and he's living there and he doesn't let you come in. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. It's still called, if it's shalcho, then it's called b'shuscha as well. But as far as metaltalim is concerned, you have two parts to the bialus. You have to have shalo shin lamed vav, not shin lamed alf. Shalo means shali. It should belong to me. It should belong to him, to the owner. And in addition to belonging to that person, it has to be shali. It has to be b'shusi. Has to be accessible to me. But if a ganef walked off and he stole it, and I don't know where to find it, or even if I know where to find it, but he's not going to give it back. He has a gun, and he's going to kill me, he's going to shoot me, he's going to bop me over the head. He won't let me take back my property. So then, although it is mine, but it's ain't a b'shusi, so I don't have the ability to be makhnim. What are examples of ain't a b'shusi? So the example of the Gemara gives is, Rabbi Yochanan gives this example of an object which was stolen. Gozal. An object was stolen, a davar hamitaltal was stolen from me, that although it's shali, it belongs to me, it's ein b'shus. What if I lost the object? Nobody stole it. What if it's lost? That's a debate in the Rishonim. The Ritva says in Bava Metzi that if it's lost, it's still b'shus ha-bailin. Even though it's lost, he doesn't know where in the world to find it. And the Rambam seems to disagree. The Rambam's opinion seems to be that an object which is lost, the davar ha-avud, is also called ein b'shus. Here, Rashi seems to learn Pshat and Rav, not the way we read. We jumped a little too quickly. We learned the Pshat that all the classical poskim learn in the Gemara, but the Gemara doesn't really say the fairish black and white like that. What's the aloche? I have $1,000. What can I do? My money. What can I do with the money? I can burn the money, I can spend the money, I can give it away to tzedakah, I can give it away to matan, I can do whatever I want. I can mekadesh a nisha, I can buy a house for $1,000. I can buy, not a house, I can buy a carpet fan. You buy something for $1,000. What happens if I lend you the $1,000? So now I no longer have any rights or privileges over this money. You are the sole balabas. You have the right to do whatever you want. That's what the halva is all about. That the leiva has the right to do whatever he wants. So you don't necessarily have to say when Rav says here, what happened again? The boy had lent the girl $10 a long time ago. And she didn't spend the $10 yet. She still has the cash. And the girl has the right to spend it on whatever she wants. She borrowed the money, that's what halva is all about. And the boy, who is the malva, doesn't have the right any longer to do whatever he wants. That's what he lent it to her for. So when Rav says, when the chosin tells the kala, Hariya Mekudesh Asli, it's not a good kiddushin. So we jumped right away, we said, that's comparable to the case where he gave her a matana last year, he gave her a ring as a present, and now he doesn't want to bother to buy another ring. So he says, Hariya Mekudesh Asli, with the gift that I gave you last year, that's no good. That gift already belongs to her. But you don't necessarily have to learn like that nitna means from the minute that I lend you the money, it is yours. No, you can learn the different pshat. The money still belongs to the malva. Whenever I lend you money, what it means is that I gave you permission to spend my money. Money's taka still mine. But the money is not fully mine. The money is only shali, but it's not bishusi. Money is no longer accessible to me because I have no right to do anything with the money, and you have the right to do whatever you choose. That's what the halva was all about. I gave you the right to spend the money to do whatever you want. I gave you the right to spend my money. Taka initially, it's taka my money, but I have no rights to do anything with it. So what's the din if I own property which is shali, but it's not b'shusi? So the din is like Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish in Bava Kama Daf Samach Tes. And the Gemara says there in Bava Kama, it's really an argument among the Tanoim. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Maseches Maaseh Sheni. This argument between Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish is rooted in the machlokes Tanoim, where the full ownership over property that's metaltal consists of shali. It belongs to me. Whoever the owner is, that's who the owner is. He's the bialim. He can sell. He can do whatever he wants. Oh no, In order to be considered a full owner, you have to have, in addition to the bailus, it has to be shalcha, it also has to be b'shuscha, it has to be accessible to me. And if it's gigamvit, if my property is stolen or perhaps even lost, or if I lent the money to somebody else and it's no longer b'shusi, I'm not the balabos anymore over the $1,000. I cannot do anything with that money. The loiva has the right to do whatever he wants with my money. That's how Rashi learns this Gemara. Milva v'haitzon nitna means the money was given.
I can't commit the money, but I'm still have balance of it.
It's shali. The cash is still mine, so up until the person spends.
But there's a chilek. The bank is still the baal.
Oh! That's apparently how the Ramah learns pshat. That's how the Ramah learns pshat. So the Ramah reads pshat in the Gemara like that. When I lend money to the girl and I say, and she didn't spend the money yet, and I say, Hariat Mukadesh Asli, so the Gemara says the Kedushin is no good. So we jumped right away. We said, why Milvalo Hatzon? That means from the minute that I lend the money to the Loiva, it belongs to the Loiva. The Ramah doesn't read the Gemara like that. He reads it like Rashi.
Why does it have to be a Hebrew? It could be anybody's opinion.
So the Ramah reads like this. When I lend you money, let's say I lend money to the Nachri, and then the Nachri loses it. So the one who finds the money is not mukhiyev to return to the Nachri, so Avein is talking about mukhiyev. The Shaila is that the only one who's a Bailam over here, the Nachri? The Nachri had the right to spend it. So now he lost his money, he doesn't have his chusim to spend this $1,000. So you mukhiyev to retrieve to the Nachri his ability to spend this $1,000? That's Avedas Nachri, not mukhiyev. But the Shaila is, but who does the money belong to? In addition to being an Avedas Nachri, that the Nachri lost his ability to spend the $1,000, it's also Avedas Yisrael the Ramah. Because the cash, the $1,000, still belongs to the Yiddish banker. So the Ramah paskens l'aloch, you have to give the money back to the real owner. Because man, the loiva didn't spend the money.
I'm asking, so why does it have to be that Nachri, anybody?
No.
Hashonis Avedo, why it still belongs to the other person, if the other person...
They have to give it back to the Judah.
Why? The Jew didn't spend it.
No.
So it still belongs to the person.
It belongs, it's
Avedo.
The cash, strictly speaking, the cash belongs to the Malvin. But the loiva has the schus to spend this $1,000. So the Hashavas Aved requires you should give back the schus to the one who lost it, his schus to spend the $1,000.
Why that schus doesn't belong to the Nachri?
It does belong to the Nachri, but there's no mitzvah Hashavas Aved by Nachri. So the schus of the Nachri, the Nebuchi lost his ability to spend the $1,000. Nish Mukhiv to give back. That's the Allah of Aved Asak. We're not Mukhiv to give back.
One thing is fair. It's fair on this thing that...
No, the chometz was sold. No, you're talking about chometz that was sold. You're not talking about a halva.
I'm only to the theory going.
Nah, it's not going to go.
You don't lend.
This is the moment like I'm talking, isn't it?
Lending?
You lend al chometzol?
It's a different thing. I lend money to the Nachri that the Nachri gives me as collateral. The Nachri gives me a mashkin of chometz. Or the Nachri lends money to the Jew and the Jew gives the loaf of bread as a mashkin to the Nachri. That's a different story. But they're not talking about lending chometz.
It's one thing straight here. If you say the loiva has the certain schusim, he's a bailam. How can you have two bailam?
Two bailam on two different aspects of it.
But he's a bailam. He can do with the money everything. He can destroy the money. He can burn
the money. The loiva has the schus to spend the money, and the malva does not have the schus to spend the money.
But
malva does not have.
Bailam on the money.
Right.
He's a full bailam on the money.
He's not the full bailam, no. The shalom still belongs to the malva. That's how Rashi and the Ramah hold. The cash itself that the malva lends to the loiva. No, when the loiva begins to spend the money, then the money is nikna to him.
That's
a gemar vayta. Once the loiva begins to spend even the first penny, then all the money that he has is nikna to him.
So what if this money that he lent $10, $1 he spent already? So he wants to be kind of stand with the $9.
No, then it's no good for sure. Then it's no good. Even the Ramah would agree that then the money does not belong to the malva. Even the Ramah would agree. Let's say I lent money to a Nachri and the Nachri loses it after having spent a penny of the money. So then the Ramah would also agree. Once it begins to spend it, that the Gemara will say later in the Hemshech HaSugya, then the money is nikna to the loiva. But the Ramah only goes in the case where he didn't begin to spend any money. That's a good question. So the Rishonim explained that Pikadon is called Bishusai because the Pikadon is being held not against the wishes, not like a Ganav who stole it away from the Nignav who doesn't want to return it. Then it's called Eina Bishusai of the true owner because the true owner is never going to get it back. The Ganav doesn't want to give it back. But Pikadon, the Rishonim say, is called Bishusai. And they bring a Raya from the Chumash. The Raya that says the Pikadon is Eina Bishusai, but all the Rishonim disagree. Taisus and Bava Kama, Dafayin, Omanalef, and that's Sugi after Dav Samachtes. And the very next daf, Taisis and Taisis Bava Basma and all the other Mishanim say that Raiva is Shver. They have a pasuk in Chumash. It says in the Chumash, the Gunav mi Beis Elish. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim that a Ganav pays Kefal. If somebody steals something from me, he just bops me over the head and he takes my money, holds me up, that's a Gazlon. So a Gazlon pays Keren. But the Heshiv Sakzeva, that's all. But if the fellow is a Ganav, he hides. And he sneaks into my house and he steals the object at a time that I'm not watching, so that's called a ganef in contrast to a gazlon. So the Torah has in Parshas Mishpatim a special penalty for the ganef that in addition to paying the kera and the amount of money that he stole, he has to add on kefal. So the Gemara derives from the pasuk v'gunav in beis elish v'loy mi beis haganef. Haganef min haganef is potl. What does it mean haganef min haganef is potl? It means like this. Let's say somebody stole my chumash. And I wasn't watching, I didn't see. I turned around, someone sneaks in, he steals my chumash. So the din is that later on when they catch him, he has to pay back kefal. He has to give back the chumash and get me back another chumash. Let's say when he's not watching, when the ganef is not watching, somebody comes and he steals from him the chumash when he's not watching. So what will be the din in that case? So to pay to him is avadanak, it's not his. The shahid is that they have to pay to me. The Karen, Avada, they have to give back my chumash. This is still my chumash, no question about that. The Karen, they do return. The Shaila is, Agayna ben Aganav, does he pay Kefil to the original violin? In Yiddish, they always say, Agayna ben Aganav is Pata, they always take it as Pata from paying to the Ganav. That's a double pashut. That's not what the Mishnah is discussing. The Mishnah discusses, Agayna ben Aganav, it's Ogeret, you don't pay the Ganav anything, it's not his. You have to pay the true owner. Maybe the Agayna ben Aganav also pays Kefil to the original violin. So I'll get back three chumashim, I'll get back my original chumash that's still intact. Then the ganef rishon has to pay me another chumash because he stole the bignev. And then the ganef sheni has to give me an additional chumash because he also did it bignev. So let him pay kefal. So the Gemara, the Mishnah comments based on the pasuk with gunav mibeis uish, v'loy mibeis haganav, that again man haganav is potter from kefal. And the Gemara understands what does that mean? That the only time you have this penalty of ganef paying kefal is when the ganef stole it from the bailus of the nignav who had the full ownership. If he had shaloy or bishusa, it belonged to him and it was accessible to him. But since the ganav stole it from me, so it's only shali, it's mine, but it's not bishusi, so I'm not the full bailim on it now, so then when the ganav sheni steals it from the ganav rishon, he's stealing an object, I'm stealing an object which I myself, the nignav, the true owner, no longer has the full bailus over. So since the true owner doesn't have the full bailus any longer on it because it's not b'shusay, so that's why the ganef doesn't have to, the ganef sheni doesn't have to pay kefal. Hi, but what's the original pasuk in Chumash speaking about? What do you mean the gunav mibeis elish? It's not talking about stealing from the house of the person. The Chumash is talking about a case when I left the bikadam by a shomer, and then a ganef came and he stole it from the shomer. So how does the Chumash say in such a case that the one who steals the pikadon from the shomer pays kefil to the true owner? Isn't that Eina B'shuso? So Tosfos says, you see from the Chumash that a pikadon that's sitting in the home of the shomer is still considered B'shuso of the mafkid. Why? Because the shomer is not at war with the mafkid. He's not fighting against, not a tug of war over here. The shomer is holding it on behalf of the mafkid. So since he's holding on behalf of the mafkid, that's called Shalai U'B'shuso. It is considered accessible to the mafkid. Whenever he wants, he'll get it back.
So if someone borrows $1,000 and someone steals $1,000 before he spends it, who does he have to pay?
When a third party steals $1,000,
who does he pay the kaifel?
He has to pay to the
one,
to the
labor. Because still theoretically, still belongs to the other one. But
the paper, the actual money itself, or the cash, whatever it is, the actual thing itself is shaloi. Belongs to the malva. Belongs to the malva. But still, the loiva has the schus. The loiva has the schus to spend it. The schus of using it. What the malva owns is ain't a bishusay. The malva owns the bien, the object, the paper of the money, or the coins of the money. But he doesn't have the ability to spend it. So as far as paying back to the malva, that's ain't a bishusay. So the din says you don't have to pay kefil. Whenever the object that you stole was only shaloi of the bailam, but it wasn't bishusay, then you don't have to pay kefil. But to the loiva, you do have to pay.
You have to pay
you do have to pay the kefil because the loiva has
even
is supposed to spend
has
it.
Some kind of shatnas with the money.
Right. What the malva has is ain't a b'shusa. What
diminish,
he owns is ain't a b'shusa. The gabi hashavis aveda doesn't matter. Let's say when I lose an aveda, so the Ritva's opinion is whenever you lose an aveda, it's ain't a b'shusa. And still the Torah says you have to give it back. You have to make it back b'shusa. So that's why the Rambam writes that if the Israel had lent the money to the Nochri, then enough it goes, the shlemiel goes, and he, before he begins to spend the penny, he loses all the cash. So the one who finds it in the street has the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to return all the money back to the Yisrael, to the Jewish banker. Why? I was Eina B'Shusai. It doesn't matter. The mitzvah holds every Aveda is Eina B'Shusai. Whenever you lose anything, it's Eina B'Shusai. And it's still a mitzvah to give it back. There's no halacha. It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash that there's no Hashavas Aveda on an object that's Eina B'Shusai. Let's say somebody steals my Chumash, and then the Ganach loses the Chumash. And then somebody else finds it and has my name and my address. And he knows that it was lost by a Ganif who had stolen it from me. He knows the whole background of the story. That the one who stole it from me lost it. So would you say that he has no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda because at the time that the object was lost, it was Eina B'Shusai? No, there is no din like that. The only time you have a din of Eina B'Shusai is one who steals an object which is Eina B'Shusai of the true Balaam doesn't have to pay kefil. You have a pasuk. If it's Eina B'Shusai, you don't pay kefil. Agerim and Agam doesn't pay kefil. That's a major machlokes, is how to read pshat in this Gemara. How do you read the words of the Gemara? When Rav says, Hamakadosh b'milveh, it's not the same as Abaye. They're clearly two different things. Abaye in the above on the day speaks of Hamakadosh b'milveh. He's not repeating Rav's thing. He's talking about a case that the girl spent the money already. And the boy says, Hariya mukadesh esli, don't pay me back. I relieve you of paying me back the debt of $10. Hariya mukadesh esli, with the $10 that you don't have to pay back. So that's what Abaye says, that that's no good. Because he's not giving her a double chodesh, it's no kesef, you have to give either kesef or shove kesef, some biyan, some object. But Rav is not talking about that. Rav is talking about a better case of kesef, and he says it's also no good. He says the boy lent the girl money which she didn't even begin to spend yet. The girl didn't spend a penny yet. If she began to spend some of it, then Gemara says when she starts to spend some of it, then all the money is nicked into her, then it's certainly no good.
What did you put? Go ahead.
But the Gemara has, again, Rav has on Daf Mem Zayin a case, the boy lent the girl money, she didn't begin to spend any of it yet. And then he says, Hariyat Mukadash Asli, with this kesef, which she didn't spend yet, which is mine. So Rav says the Kedushin is no good, and he gives us the reasoning, because Milvel Ohitzah Nitin, the money was given to the girl, that she should have the right to spend it. So here is a major machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, and Rishonim, Rashi against all the other Rishonim. Everybody else disagrees with Rashi. How do you read the words of the Gemara?
What if he put the money in the bank? What if she put the money in the bank? She didn't spend it, but she actually started something where the money is hers and is worth more money for her.
Putting the money in the bank is called spending it. That's a halvor. When I put money in the bank, I'm lending the money to the bank. That's a halvor. Yeah, that's a halvor.
Can she give, assuming she pays back the loan with new money, spend the first money, but instead of paying back the loan to him, she gives him a loan now, $10. Instead of paying him back the loan, she gives him a new loan of $10. Now he wants to be mekadesh with that money. Can you do that?
Yeah, why not? He has the right to do whatever he wants. And then what he does is that he gives her this money as a gift. Why not? You see, this sheet of Rashi says that if I lend you money until you begin to spend, Rashi and Ramah, until the loiva begins to spend the money, the cash still belongs to the malva. Just milva lahatzon nitim means that it's ain't a b'shusa, because it's no longer accessible to him, but it's shaloi. Rashi in Bav Metzia has a chiddush based on this, which all the other Rishonim disagree with. Rashi says, what if I lend you $10 and you have a right to hold the money for a month? And you never spend the money, and it comes the end of the month and the money is still in your pocket. But it's now the time to pay back the kish. So, and then you decide you want to hold on to that $10 bill, you want to give me pennies, or you want to give me something else instead, you want to pay me with 10 singles instead of that $10 bill, and you still have that bill. So Rashi says explicitly in Bava Metzia that $10 bill always belonged to me even after I lent it to you with Shali. The only thing is there was Eina B'Shusai because you had the ability, you had the right to spend it. You had the right to spend it for a month. The month is up, you never spent it. So the money which was always Shali goes back now to become again B'Shusai. There's no reason why it should no longer be b'shusi now. For a month's period of time, it was Eina B'Shusai because you had a right to spend it for a month. The month is up. Now you're supposed to pay back the money. So Rashi says that money that was all along Shali because you didn't begin to spend it yet. Rashi says you have to give back the exact same cash if you didn't spend it yet. If you didn't begin to spend any of it yet. Right, based on this, that's how Rashi learns his Gemara, like the Ramah. That's Rashi and the Ramah. All the other Rishonim disagreed. They said they never heard of such a thing. But that's how Rashi read the Gemara. Milvel Ohetzon, it means that it's still shalom of the malva. An act of halvor means that the malva gives permission to the loiva to spend his money, but it's still called Eina B'Shusai. So that's why it's not good for Kiddushin, because the chasim cannot be makne this kesh to the kala, because he's not a full bialim over the kesh anymore.
So according to Rashi, under that case, where after the 30 days the money theoretically reverts to him, he could be makarisha with that.
Right.
Because that's a b'shusha also.
Right.
Even though
it's not a milk anymore.
Right. It's not a milk anymore. It's like a picoton. Exactly. That is Rashi sheet. That is Rashi sheet.
Question. According to Rashi, does that depend on the dots of the malga? For example, if he lent gold coins on that kind of night, at the end of the month, the value of those coins may have changed in the rubber dance.
Right. And the leg would never spend the money. There is a discussion of this in Bava Kamma, the end of Bava Kamma, and Hagozel Kamma. The more discusses what if the money devaluated? Do you have to give more? Or are the Yotze with the same amount of money? So the Gemara makes a distinction how much the Pichut was, how much it was devaluated. If it devaluated more than one, if it got more than one eighth or one sixth in one shot, then it's considered a different coin system. And if it devaluated, I think it's one sixth, if it devaluated less than one sixth in one shot, then it's considered the same money that it was before, and you give back the old money, even though it's worth less now than it was before. The Gemara makes such a distinction. If you give more, it will be. Yeah, it's quoted. This thing is quoted in Hilchas Riddis. It is the Shailah Riddis. But you have to, you're right, but the main Sugya of Riddis is in Bav Metzi. But this thing of Pichut, of devaluating money, is in Hilchas Riddis. It's not a Choshe Mishpat. It's in Yeredeya Hilchas Riddis about what's the status of money when it's devaluated by the government. And it's based on a Gemara of all places, the end of Bava Kamma. It's not quoted in Bav Metzi. Today, it's perhaps the one Eretz Yisrael, perhaps the most important Shabbat in Hilchos Riddis. It's not found in Paragraz Enosh, it's in the end of Bava Kamma. There are dinim about that.
So
the hard dinim. So I don't know.
So why is it Rashi saying
Hilchos? Because in order for the chosim to be makne, the kesef, to the kala, it's not enough if it's shaloi. You have to have shaloi ubishusai. It has to belong to him and it has to be accessible to him. He no longer has any accessibility to this $10 that he had lent her. So even though the cash is still his, he cannot be mekanesh with it because he can't be machmet to him. So you mentioned before a case, let's say, according to Rashi, you said a case. Let's say, according to Rashi, the boy lent the girl $10 and she didn't begin to spend the money yet and the month is up. And he only lent her the money for a month. Month is up and now the money reverts back to being not only shalom, which it always was, it's also b'shusai. And now the chassan says, Harei Mekudesh is leave with the $10, it would be good. That's according to Rashi. And all the other Rishonim disagree, right. It's interesting though, there is a Ravid. The Ravid holds like Rashi, but for a different reason. The Ravid even gives a bigger chiddush. Ravid has like this. What if the boy lent the girl $10 and she spent the money? And then she's supposed to pay him back the money at the end of the month. Then she comes at the end of the month and she has a different $10 bill. She has 10 singles, she has pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, whatever. She comes with a whole load full of money, $10, but she's about to give it back to the boy. And then he says, maybe you'd like to marry me? She says, okay. So she says, Harei Mekudesh is with the money that you're about to give me back. Offhand, it's no good. She spent the money already. This is different money, completely different money. This money is neither shalom of the chassan, nor b'shusa. It's in ganza, not his. So how can he say, Harei Mekudesh is with this money, it's not his? So the Ravid, both on the Hasavis, on the Ramam, in Hilchas Ribis, in Hilchas Malvav Aloive, and in Hilchas Ishus, and there it's a little unclear, so the Ravid in its Mimdeim, another Sefer, also composed by the Ravid, parts of it composed by the Ravid, explains what he's talking about. He explains the whole Nuchidish, the Ravid and the Balamor. There's a Balamor in Bava Kamma and Daf Lamed Vav. The Balamor learned Becharusa with the Ravid, Rabbi Nizrachi HaLevi, and Rabbi Avram Reb David learned Becharusa. They were both Talmidim of another Godel who was called the Ravid, the Rav Abbezin of Narbona, the one who wrote the Sefer Heshkom. And then the Ravid married his daughter. The Ravid was the son-in-law of the Ravid. There were three Ravids. There was one who was a historian. He's not, he's lo bo b'cheshbon b'chlal. He's not quoted in halacha. And then there were two who were Rishonim, two who give shitas in halacha. And in Yeridei, the Shach writes that when you ask astira, one Ravid against the other, you can never be sure that you have a kashi, because there are two different Ravids who are quoted in halacha. One is the Ravid Balo Eshkol. He's not really the Ravid. He's Rabbi Avram b'Rabbi Yitzchok. He's the Rabbi. He's called the Rav Av Bezin of Narbona. He was the Rav Narbona, and his Talmidim, two of his Talmidim were Rabbi Nizrachi HaLevi, who wrote the Sefer HaMor on the bottom of the Rif, Baal Hamor, and the Ravid, the famous Ravid, the Rabbein Avram Reb David of Paskir. So the Ravid and the Baal Hamor, who learned Becharus, both come up with the same mindfall of a Chiddush. That if I lent you money, let's say I lent the girl money, and she spent it already. And then she's supposed to pay back after a month, after a year, whatever. Comes the end of the time, and she's coming back with a full purse full of money, she's ready to pay the money back to the chassan. She doesn't get a chance to give it back to the chassan in his hands yet, and the chassan says, I want to marry you, Hariyat Mekudeshesli, with the money, and she's masking, good, so she'll keep the money and be good for Kedusha. So the Ravid and the Baal Hamor both say that it's good. They interpret a Gemara like that. They have a Gemara in Kiddushin, and the first Perek, and they have a Gemara in Bava Metzia, they have a few, and they have a Gemara in Bava Kama. They have several Gemaras which they put together. They claim that this theme is repeated in three, four different Gemaras. That doesn't make any sense at all. How could that be? The money was spent already. It's in ganzen different money. He lent her a $10 bill. He gave her a check. Now she's paying back in cash and different things. Yeah. It's the ganzen appella, right? It's the ganzen appella. It's just that he's relieving her of payment of the $10. That's abayit and certainly no good. So they both explain what they're talking about. They come up with a new einfach. What's the halacha? When I lend you $10 and then you pay me back the money, do you have to be makna the money to me? I have to make a kinyan. I was the malva, I lent it to you. So when you return the money, when the loiva returns the money to the malva, does the malva have to make a kinyan? He has to make a hagdor, has to make a kinyan chotzer. You put the money in my pocket as a kinyan chotzer, you put it in my hands as yad. Because you need a kinyan. So the tzois and the nesivas both bring on their own. They didn't even notice this ravid in the balamor. They say on their own, they bring a Gemara in the first parak in Bava Metzia and the second parak, they quote a few Gemaras, that there's no need for the malva to make a maisi kinyan on the cash, that the debt should be paid up. Let's say you owe me $10 and I'm busy now, I'm learning, whatever, I'm fixing my car, my hands are busy now, my hands are greasy, whatever, I'm eating supper, and then you say, here's the money. So I say, okay, leave it on the table and I'll take it later. Let's say it's in the cafeteria, it's not in my house. So you can't say I'm claiming the money with the kinyan chatz. And you leave it on the table, and then I forget about it, and I forget to take the money. So all the poskim say that the chov is parua. When I said leave it on the table, so that's accepted as a payment. It makes sense. Now the chov, whatever the malva sets up as a piron, I say I'd be satisfied. Do this, that, and the other thing. Put the money on the table. That's called a piron. So then the tzais and the nesivas add on. Not only is the chov parua, not only is the debt considered as having been paid up by virtue of the fact that you put the money on the table as I instructed you, but it's even more than that. We consider that the money now belongs to me. When you put the money on the table, the money is nikna to the malva, take it from me yet. How? But the malva didn't even make a kinyan. So the tzais and the sigas both explained there's no need for a maisa kinyan. When you owe me a debt and you make a piron hachov, by virtue of the fact that this money is serving the purpose of making a piron, the chov is now paid up, the debt is now paid up, that itself causes that money is nicked to me without any additional need from Isaacin. That's what they say. You don't need an Asina, you need a piron. Piron means making the money accessible to the malva. What's haste accessible? See, if let's say the malva says, the malva's walking to shul on Erev Shabbos, he's all dressed up for Shabbos, and has his pockets emptied out, and then this guy walks over, the fellow owes me $100,000, and he gives me the money, Erev Shabbos, right before I'm going to shul. So I say, now you give me the money, I have no time to go to the bank to pay back. The guy says, sorry brother, and he just shoves the money in my pocket. And I'm screaming, I don't want the money. So the din is, it doesn't matter. He made the money accessible to me. He did it in a very uncomfortable fashion. He was a mean guy, so he's a rasha. But still, since he made the money accessible to me, so that's called a good piron. What happens if he makes the money accessible to me, not by putting it in my pocket, he puts it on the table, he puts it nearby on the bench, I'm over here and he puts it on the back bench. So then the Rishonim say, it depends, if I agree, let's say he's coming in, he's running by and I'm in the middle of learning, and I say, leave it on the back bench, I'll pick it up later. If I agreed, so that means I was Toveya, I said that I accept that as accessible. If you put it in my pocket, you give it in my hand, I can scream from today till next year, I don't want it, it's Erev Shabbos, I'm going to a wedding, I'm going to shul, whatever, I'm going to davening, I have no time. It doesn't matter. The money is accessible, so that's a piron. Or if the money is not so accessible, he puts it in an awkward position. Let's say he's going to put the $10,000 in cash in an envelope and send it in the mail. So if he calls up the malva and the malva says it's okay, do it. So the malva said he accepts that as a valid form of payment. Somehow or another, the money gets lost in the mail. That's his tough luck. If the malva agrees to that, So the Malvis said, I will be satisfied if you do that. That'll be considered a payment. So now the Tzais and the Nesivis add on that as soon as you make the money accessible to me, either by putting it in my pocket, putting it in my hand, putting it right in front of my nose, or I say put it on the back bench, put it in my car, whatever I agree to, not only is the debt canceled, not only is that a valid piron because you made the money accessible, that cash with which you paid up the debt is now nikne, now belongs to the malva without any need for the malva to pick it up. That's a separate din. Whenever money serves money or commodities, whatever anything, whenever anything serves the purpose of paying up a debt, paying up a chov, that object with which the chov is paid up is now nikne to the balachov, to the malva, without any additional need for a maisi kinyan. So now the Raivin and the Balamor have this einfall. They say, what if the loive, let's say the boy lent the girl $100 and then the girl's about to pay back, she already spent the money, and she comes a month later, a year later, she's about to pay back with different coin, different dollar bills. She has a sack full of money, she's about to give it to the Malva, to the Chosn, who had lent her this money originally. So the Raivin and the Balamor both say that since she's ready and willing to pay the money, so she's about to make the money, she's making the money accessible to the Malvin. He can take it, she wants to give it to him. He can take it right away. So since the money is made accessible to him, that's called a piron. Once it's called a piron, so it's nikna to him. And then if he says you can keep it, hari amakudash asli, that's good for kiddushin. Because it's mamish shalai of rishusai of the chas. That's a chiddush. That's the chiddush of the Raivin and the Balamor. That when the loive is about to pay, the loive has a sack full of money, and he's about to pay the money to the Malva, and this is not the original cash that he had lent him. He has spent that money, and he's coming now with different money. The Balamor has a different case. I broke your window, and I owe you $100. I ruined your car, and I owe you $1,000, and I'm about to pay you there. You never lent me any money in the first place. I'm an Odom Hamazik, and I owe you money. So he says the same thing. When I'm holding on to the money, and I'm about to give it to you, so the money is made accessible to you, so the Balamor says, the same as the Raivin, that money is now labeled as Shalcho uVishuscho, and if you want to be machna to anybody, you can perfectly do that. You have the right to do that. That's an added chiddush. That's Gora chiddush. That many Rishonim disagree with, and they say, no, how can you say that the money is made accessible to the other fellow if it's still in my hands? You can say made accessible haste if I say, put the money on the table, put the money on the bench, put the money in the envelope, throw it in the mailbox. I tell him to do anything, but if I tell him, you have the money, continue holding on to the money. How can you say that that money was made accessible to the Malva if the Loiva is still holding on to it in his hands? He never left the hands of the Loiva. So that's why most of the Rishonim disagree.
But he's there already become Shoyma. The Loiva would be there a Shoyma.
No, the Loiva is a Shoyma. If the money belongs to the Malva, then the Loiva is a Shoyma on the Malva.
I want to go out of Shabbos, I owe you money. And I'm going out of Shabbos, and here's the money I owe you. He says, listen, on Shabbos, didn't hold the money for me until tomorrow night. So there the Leib is a Shreina, even though he would...
That's okay. I mean, if the Leib gave the money to the Malva, then the Malva gave it. He didn't give it back.
He says, here's the money that I owe you. He says, listen, I'm all Shabbos. Hold up. Oh, give it to me tomorrow night.
No, so he never accepted the money yet.
But it's the same thing. It's not for Leib. The money was made accessible.
That's what the Raivin and the Balamor say like that. That's what they say. Most of the Rishonim disagree and hold that Kozman that the Loiv is still holding on, accessible height, accessible mark. But if the Loiv is still holding on to it, you can't say that that's a Piran. It never left the Rishus of the Loiv. That's a different debate.
What's the habit of that you can put the law? Never left the pilot. The money never left the pilot. The Malv is still the Malv.
Why? Let's say I lent you the money and you spent it. You spent the money already.
But that's a condition in the halvora that he has to return the money.
To return
the different
kinyan
for that?
No, do you need a kinyan? Not to cancel the debt. Do you need a kinyan that it should be nicknamed to the Malva? That's
why
a
kinyan. Why should you need it to start
with? The din said you don't. The halacha said you don't.
You don't.
Okay. That's what Taisis, the Gemara, that's what all the Paschim say. There's no need for a kinyan. Once the Leiva gives the money back to the Malva in such a way, even if he doesn't put it biyodei, he puts it in such a way that the chov is parua, right, agreeable, then that cash is nikna to the Malva.
Would that apply also to when the Gazlan has to pay, he has to pay kaifo? Does the same thing go over to the Ganav, to the nikna? The Keren? And the kefil, does he have to make a kinyan on that kefil?
Same thing. When he's about to pay it, according to this Balamor and the Raivin, the money would be nikna to him already.
Already.
When he's about to pay, even before he gives it over. That's already a further chiddush. Okay, this is the chiddush of Rav. This is Rav's chiddush. That you shouldn't think that when I lend money to somebody else, they have the ability to spend my money, but it's still fully my cash until the time that they begin to spend it. So if the money still belongs, it's fully shaloyu b'shusay of the malve. Then if the man lent money to the chosn lent money to the girl, and now he decides to tell her keep the money, have you mukadeshly with that money, it would be a valid kiddushin. So Rav says it's not so. The milva from the minute that it was given to the loyve is lahitso nitno. And here is a major machloikis, what that means. What it means that the money is, it's true, it's still shaloi. It still belongs to the malve, but it's ainu b'shusay. So since ainu b'shusay, he's unable to be makne to the loyve, to the kala. Or it's even more than that. That's how the regular poskim assume, not like Rashi. The rov of the Rishonim Lom Shad, that the minute that you lend money to the loyve, it's not even shaloi. It doesn't even belong to the malve. That's the poskim. Rav the Gemara, the Gemara continues, Nemi Kitano, should we say that this chiddush of Rav, this psak that Rav made, is really dependent on a machlokes hatana? We have a braisa that reads as follows. Hamakadosh b'milve, einu mekudeshes. If the chosen marries the girl with the money that he had lent her already, the kedushin is not valid. V'yeshamim mekudeshes. And one tana disagrees with the beferish machlokes. My love, most probably, b'hokam afligi, this is the point of argument. The Marsal the Milvalah Hitzon Nit and the Tanakama hold that from the minute that the Malva lends the money to the Leiva and he has the right to spend it, it's already Shaloi, it already belongs to the Leiva, it already is Ein Abishus of the Malva, however you learned before. Well, Marsal and the second Tana who says that the Chosin can be Mekadosh the girl with the money that he lent her already, provided she didn't spend it yet, the second Tana holds, Marsalvah, Milvalah Hitzon Nit and the second Tana holds, no, that the money still belongs fully to the Malva. And the Malva is able to be Mekadosh the girl with that cash, provided she didn't spend it.
They don't make that fine difference in Rashi and other parts. It says Marsova Novalatsov, Marsova Movalovatsov. Lavatsov doesn't mean that it's only Vashusoi.
It means all. It means Shaloi Uvashusoi. Milva Lavatsov Nitna means that it's fully owned by the Malva. Milva Lohoitsov Nitna, that's the Machloik, is what that means. Rashi says Ein Vashusoi, and everybody else says not even Shaloi. Lav, milva lav lahitzon nitna means that even though it means that the loiva has the right to spend the money on whatever he wants, but until the time that the loiva spends the first penny of the money, it's still fully owned by the malva. It just means the malva gave the loiva permission to spend it. The malva can always revoke that permission. What's the deal in the following case? Let's say I lend you $1,000 to spend on whatever you want, and then I hear that you want to go gamble away the money on the horse races, or you want to play cards or something. Then I come to your house and I pound on the door and I say, give me back my money, I revoke my permission that you should spend it. What's the din? Can I get back my money or not? So the Gemara says on Amud Beis that that's a machlokes hatanai. Once the loiv has spent the first penny of the money, then he's claimed all the money, then the malva can't get it back for sure. The shal is, what about before the loiv began to spend any money? So if you say milva lohoitzon nitna means it's either ain't a shaloi, or at least it's Ein Abishusai, so then the Malva cannot ask for the money back. He's no longer Balabas over here. See, the Ein Shalai, Ein Abishusai. But if you hold Milva, is Lav Lohitzon Nitna means I just gave you permission to do whatever you want on my money, I can revoke the permission.
So what is he? What's he holding that money? Is he holding, what is he holding?
No, he just has permission to spend my money. So if he'll hurry up and start to spend it, then it'll belong to him. He's a Leiva. If what? Oh, so the Gemara is going to say, what happens if the money is nenas? What happens if there's a fire and the whole house gets burnt down?
Who,
and this
who,
cash,
who
loses? And you say, well, since the malva could have revoked permission from the loiva, so the malva's money got burnt, so the malva suffers the loss, the loiva doesn't have to pay. Or they say, no, since the loiva self did have the right, he had the permission to spend it, even though he didn't begin to spend the penny yet, so the loiva is to be held responsible. So the Gemara says later on Amud Beis, the Gemara says that this, everybody would agree that the loiva does have to pay. Because the loiva is not worse than a shoel. What if I lend you a Gemara that you have a right to use it, then you have to give it back, and I'm not charging anything. But shoel borrows the use of the object, and he doesn't pay anything. So shoel is chayv b'yonsim, because kol ano shalom. The Torah says, whenever you use my property, you don't have to pay for the use, so then you're chayv if any oinus occurs. So here also, the fact that I gave you $100,000 to spend, even if you didn't begin to spend it yet, the fact that you have the right to spend it, that itself makes it that you're chayv b'yonsim. That's the same din as shoel. But the Gemara says, there is a machlokes, however, a machlokes hatanaim. If the malva comes to the loiva's house, and before the loiva began to spend the money, the malva says, give me back the money, I changed my mind. So if the loiva began to spend it, it's too late. even on the money that he has left, he's kind of all the money. Once he begins to spend part of the money, so the malva cannot retrieve his halva. If the loiva didn't begin to spend anything yet, then it's a machlokes, and we paskins also tough luck. Once I lent him the money, milva lo hatzon nitno. It's either ein shali or at least ein b'shusa, so the malva cannot get his money back. So the Gemara says, Neimi kitanoi, should I say that this psak of Rav, that milva lo hatzon nitno, means that the money that the malva lends to the loiva is either ein shalo or ein b'shusa, it's not fully owned any longer by the malva. Should I say that that's the debate among the Tanoim in this price? If a man is Mekadosh a girl b'milva, he had lent the money, she didn't spend it yet, and he tells her she has the right to keep it, would it be valid for Kiddushin? Sounds like that's the argument. So the Gemara says, no, that cannot be. The Tizbura, but think for a minute. Ema Seifo. Read the end of the price. The end of the price clearly demonstrates that that's not the correct pshat. The price continues to say, v'shovim. They both agree, both the Tana who says Mekudeshes and the Tana who says Eni Mekudeshes, they both agree. V'shav b'mecher, they both agree that when you sell, when I'm selling property, shezekonah, that it is good for a kinyan. What do you mean v'shav b'mecher shezekonah? It means like this. What if I had lent you $100 and I want to buy some property of yours? You have a farm or you have whatever it is, you have karka. And karka is nikna b'kesef. So I have to give you some kesef to become the karka. So let's say I had already lent you, let's say I already lent you $100,000 or something, and you didn't spend the money yet. So I say the money that I had lent you should now serve. I lent you the money yesterday, you didn't begin to spend it. So I say, now I'm interested in buying your property, which is going to cost $100,000. I say the money that I lent you should serve now as the kesef kinyan to buy the house. So the Brisa says that it's good. The same case is by Kiddushin. I lent the girl $10 and I want to be Mekadosh, and I say, the $10 that you have, that I lent you, that you didn't spend yet, harei mekudeshesli with that cash. So the Braisa records that's a debate among the Tanaim. One Tana says good Kiddushin, one Tana says the Kiddushin no good. Ain't mekudeshes. So it sounds like that's the argument where the Milvah Lahotzon Nit, the Milvah Lahotzon Nit. So the Gemara says it can't be. How can the Braisa continue to say in the next line, in the Sefer, in the second half of the Braisa, that the Shovim, all of the Tanaim agree, the Mecher, in a case where it's not that I'm getting Kiddushin, but I'm buying some property of yours, some karka, which is nikna b'kesef, that if I say keep the money that I lent you, and that kesh that I lent you yesterday should serve as kesef kinyan to be kind of the karka, that's valid, shezek ono, that I do acquire the ownership of the property. Frek de Gemara, how can it be? The Amrit, if you're going to tell me milvolo, it's on nitno, if you're going to tell me that there was a debate among the Tanaim, what's the nature of a loan when I lend you the money, you didn't spend it yet, is it still considered shaliyah b'shusi? Or not, at one time it says, Lahitzon Nitna, it's not mine, Freg Digmar, but my Connie. How can the Brisa say in the Sefer that everybody agrees?
The big difference though, by Kiddushin, you need to get a Dabar Chodesh, she has to get something new. Who said by Mecha you have to get something new? With this fact that he knows that this money is going to supplant the other money, he said, good, you don't need to have a Dabar Chodesh. So how can you make a Dimya from Kiddushin to Mecha?
It's a very stark Ketanah. It's a very stark Ketanah. The Rambam has that distinction. The Rambam has in two different places this din of kona b'mecher. If I'm buying something with a halvoah, so the Rambam distinguishes exactly what is he buying with what halvoah. Let's say he's buying karka, but what do you mean with a halvoah? Does it mean that I lent you $100,000 and you spent it already? You spent all the money. You owe me a debt of $100,000, and then I want to buy karka of yours. And I say, look here, I want to buy karka for $100,000, and you owe me $100,000. It'll cancel each other off. So the Rambam says that's okay. That's perfectly okay. Because there is no need for Dava Chodesh. That's the Rambam sheet. There is no need for Dava Chodesh by Kinyan Karka. That's correct. However, this Gemara doesn't contradict the Rambam. The Rambam quotes this Gemara too. This Gemara is talking about a different case. Rambam is talking about the case, I don't say, forget about the fact that you owe me this money, the debt that you owe me should cancel out, should be cancelled out, and I should be kind of the Karka for $100,000. No. This case in the Gemara is talking about the following case. I lent you the money, you didn't spend it yet. And I say, I want that cash that you still have, that still belongs to me, to serve as the kesef to be kaina.
That should make it worse. That should make it better.
Makes it worse.
But according to what we're talking now, we said that he didn't touch the money yet, he has more kaina than Kenyan on the money. And here it's coming out, makes it a reyesa.
It makes it a reyesa because he wants to use that money, if he wants to use the debt. The fact that I lent you $100,000, so you owe me $100,000. I say, okay, forget about the $100,000 and I'll be kind of the karka. The Rambam says that would be fine. Because there's no need for davar chadash. Only by kiddushin you need davar chadash. By karka you don't need. That's true. That's what the Rambam holds. That's the Rambam shita. But over here, when he says the money that you still have and you didn't spend it yet, that cash should serve as the kesef. So the Rambam learns the Gemara. In that case, it's not good because the cash cannot serve as the kesef because lo'itzon nitno. It's either reina shalai reina b'shusa. So it's no good. So the Gemara asks, how can you say that that's the argument among the Tanaim by kiddushin? Whether the kiddushin is valid or not, if the girl didn't spend the money yet, the issue involved is whether milvah lo'itzon nitno, milvah lav lo'itzon nitno. How could that be? How can the Braisa continue to say in the Sefer that b'mecher, if you're selling real estate, selling karka, everybody holds that it's good. V'shovim b'mecher, shezeh kono. All the Tanoim agree. Those who disagreed in the Reisha by Kedushin, they all agree by mecher, by mechiras karka, that it is a good kinyan. But if you hold like, it's on nitno, but my koni, how can he say, be kind with the cash, but the cash is not his to use as a kinyan? So the Gemara says, it must be a different case. No, this has nothing to do with what Rav said. This is a special case. And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, Zayim David b'shem Amar. Rav Nachman and Rav Huna were good friends. They learned together. They used to call each other by the first name. We call him Rav Huna because he was older than us. Rav Huna lived in the days of the Gemara. He was a bigger Talmid Chacham than we are. Rav Nachman used to refer to Rav Huna as my friend Huna, my buddy Huna. So he says, Huna Chavrin, my Chavr, my friend Huna. That's, we always call him Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman used to call him Huna Chavrin. The Gemara a lot of times he calls him Huna Chavrin. Mukim lo. Interpreted this braisa b'mili ucheri in a different case. The oifer acher. This braisa is talking about a special case. V'hacha b'mayas kinon. What is this braisa referring to? A special case kigon shama lo. It's not talking about at all a case where the boy had lent the money to the girl in advance, and now he says the money that he didn't spend yet should serve as case kiddush. Nothing to do with that. In Gansan, a different case. The boy comes over to the girl and he says, they go out on a date. He never lent, they never met her before. He meets her the first time. At the end of the day, they decide they want to get married. He says, okay, I like you a lot. I'm going to be mekanish you $1,000. He starts pulling out the money. And he gives her the money on the table. Hari Abba Kodesh says, here's $1,000. The girl counts up the money. It's only $999. So what's the din? So the din is that it should be a good kiddush. Let's say he says, Hari Abba Kodesh is sleeping with $1,000 and he gives her a nickel. The Rosh Hashanah goes up to $1,000. So it means, here's a nickel, Harei Mekudesh is with the nickel, on the condition that I'll pay you up all the rest of the money. So the dinner, she's Mekudesh right away, Allah tonight that he gives her the rest of the money. If he never pays the rest of the money, the Kedushin is not valid. If he pays the rest, then the Kedushin is valid as of this minute, as of the minute that he gave her the nickel. But here it's a different case. Here it's not that he gave her the nickel, and he says, Harei Mekudesh is with $1,000, the girl would be embarrassed to ask for the missing nickel. He says, I read Mukadesh is with $1,000, and he gives him $999, just missing $1. So the girl will be embarrassed to ask for the money. So therefore, there's a lack of kiddush. If he would have given her only a penny in the first place, I read Mukadesh is with would be good. But if he says he's giving her more, and she doesn't get that full amount, it's no good. The kiddush is not valid. It's a chiddush. The Gemara says that's a lack. this day, the girl would be embarrassed to ask for the missing nickel. He says that Rambam Kodesh is with $1,000, and he gives him $999, just missing $1, so the girl would be embarrassed to ask for the money. So therefore, there's a lack of kiddush. If he would have given her only a penny in the first place, so Rambam Kodesh is would be good. But if he says he's giving her more, and she doesn't get that full amount, it's no good. The kiddushin is not valid. It's a chiddush. The Gemara says that's not a lack of kesef. He has $999 there. That's well over a pruta. Pruta is very little. Pruta is today something like a penny and a half is a pruta. So the pruta is there, but there's a new din of smichas das in kiddushin that if the girl was promised X amount of money, and she doesn't think that she's getting that amount, even if Lamaisa she is getting it, but if she's not positive that she's ever going to see that full amount of money, then the kiddushin is not valid. No. Mekachta is a different thing. Let's say it turns out that he's a criminal. It turns out that that he just married her for her money and he never loved her. That's a Mekachta. Kiddushin toys, it was a mistake in an identity. Oh, he thought she was somebody else. Turned out she was Leah. He thought she was Rachel. Turned out she was Leah. That should be a perfect case of Mekachta.
Well, what if I owe you money? I owe you $1,000.
So you owe me another dollar?
Oh, just $1,000.
What you paid me is good. You owe me another dollar. So here's a special case, the Gemara says. The man is Mekadosh the girl, and he promises, he tells it so much money, and it turns out that it's missing a quarter or a small amount of money. So one time it says the girl will probably be embarrassed to ask the fellow for the rest of the money because it's so insignificant. So therefore there's a lack of smichas das, and therefore the kiddushin is not valid. And the other time it thinks, in Masava, why should she be embarrassed? Like Sifal and Milsal and Mizbe, the girl will not be embarrassed to ask for her last nickel. What's this? So since she won't be embarrassed, she knows that she will collect the full amount of money. So that's why it's a good kiddush. So the only time there's in machlokes hatanaim is when it's a boy-meet-girl situation, maybe the girl will be embarrassed to ask for the last nickel. But if it's a mecher, I'm selling you a karka, and it turns out that it's missing a little money, in business, the guy's not embarrassed. They ask for a penny, he won't be embarrassed. That's how the Gemara says. Break the Gemara, but don't we have a din that if the man says, Hari Amukudesh, and he leave with an X amount of money, and he gave her less, don't we have a din that it is a good kiddush? How come over here it's all of a sudden an argument among the Tanai? Craig the Gemara, but what about that statement that Rabbi Lazar once said, if a boy tells the girl, his kachili bimane, he says, marry me with these $100, binasan la dinar, and he only gives her a nickel, and he doesn't give her $100. So Rabbi Lazar says, harezim mukudeshes v'yashlim. Rabbi Lazar says, the kiddushin is valid, take it from the yad, on the condition that he'll pay the rest of the money later. It's like a kiddushin ala tanai. I read Mekudeshes Li this minute on the condition that I'll pay up the rest of the money till $100. So the Gemara, Lemi Ketanai, Amora Lishmaita, said we should we say that Rav Loza the Amora only said his din according to one opinion in Tanai? And the other Tana will disagree. The Tana who holds that the girl is probably going to be embarrassed to ask for her money will hold that the kiddushin is not valid here because of a lack of smichas das, because the girl is not positive that she's ever going to get the rest of the money. Should we say there's an argument among the Tanaim? The Gemara says no. Amri, and for the Gemara, no, there's a basic difference. Manachas adiner, if he said, here's $100 and it's missing a nickel or a dime, a very small amount, then one Tana says, ksifula milsal in Nizbe. In that case, the girl will be embarrassed to ask for the rest of the money. So in that case, there's a lack of smichas das. She may think that she's never going to see the full amount of the money, and that's no good for kiddushin. But if it's a case of manachas atishin v'teisha, he says, Hare, Mekudesh, if it's $100 and he gives her a quarter, he gives her $1, she's not going to be embarrassed to ask for the rest of the $99. That's not being cheap, that's not being petty. She wants the rest of the money. The bulk of the money is missing. 99% of the money is missing. So in that case, since, like Sifal and Milsal and Mizbi, she won't be embarrassed. So therefore, there is a smichas das. Therefore, it's... Nothing more asked a kasha from a brice. They ask a kasha on Rav's din. We have a brice that reads as follows. Ha'im al-isha, the chasin tells the kala, his kachi li b'pikadon, sheyesh li b'yodeh. The boy had given a pikadon to a girl that she should hold it for him. And then he says, the pikadon that I gave you to hold for me last week, last year, whatever, I now give you the right to keep it, v'harev mukudeshesli, and that pikadon. So since we assume that only by a get is there a problem of kli gitach magabi karaka, that by a get you need nesina mamish v'nasim b'yada, but by kiddushin it's called a nesina, it's not a violation, it's called a nesina, even though it's kli gitach magabi karaka, it's also good. So if he says that money that pikadon, the ring that happens to be in your possession, You're holding it for me, I tell you now, keep it l'shem kiddushin. So the Braisa should say that it's good. So the Braisa says it depends. The whole of the girl goes, let's say she has the pikadon at home, and they're out on a date, and he says, the ring that I gave you to hold in your home, now I give you permission to keep it l'shem kiddushin. She goes home, and she finds out that the ring was stolen. At the time that he said, Hari Emel Gadesh, just leave with the ring was missing already. She goes home and she finds out that it was stolen or was lost. So it depends. Let's see if there's only one ring and the whole thing is missing. It's goodbye. So there's no Kesef Kiddushin. At the time that he made the statement on the date when they were in the car, he said, Hari Emel Gadesh, just leave with the ring. They find out later on that at that moment the ring was no longer there. So it's no good. What happens if he had given her, let's say, a box of lollipops to hold for him, and then somebody had eaten up a whole bunch, and by the time she comes home, she figures out he proposed at 9:10, and at 9:10 there was still a couple of lollipops left, so there's still a shavah pruta left, so then the din is that it would be good. If there's a shavah pruta left of the pikadon at the time that he says, Hari Mekudesh is, he's Mekudesh is, Vim Lav, and if it's not left, the shavah pruta's worth of the pikadon that he had entrusted in her hands originally, is Eina Mekudesh. So the Braisa makes this distinction regarding a pikadon. If the boy had given the girl a pikadon to hold for him, what if he had given her a halva? What if he had lent her money? But if he had lent her money, so the Braisa says, even though she comes home and it turns out that all the money had been spent, she doesn't have to come home. They're out on a date. He says, remember yesterday I lent you $100? She says, yeah, I spent it a long time ago. I spent it 5 minutes after you lent it to me. So he says, Harem HaKodesh is leave with that money. So the Braisa says, even though there isn't even a penny's worth, there's not a Shavah Pruta's worth, she spent every penny, Mekudeshes. The Kiddushin is good. That's exactly the reverse from what Rav said. Rav says, even if all of the money is intact, there's Eina Mekudeshes. Even if she didn't begin to spend one penny, is no good Kiddushin. And the Braisa quotes that even if she spent all of the money, is good Kiddushin. Just the Hepech from Rav. That's the Meisvei.
Rashi puts here now, and Veshi, the year I know it, the Mokhul Yorker.
Right.
Before I didn't say that.
Right.
Why should he interpret that now?
I don't know. So this is what the Gemara is asking Akash.
Why did the Gemara ask this Kasha on Abaya too? Abaya says...
Same Kasha. Same Kasha. Going to be the Gemara is going to patch up the price. It doesn't read straight. The Gemara is going to patch up the price. It can't be that. She spent all the money and it's still good. By a Pikadon it's no good if it's gone. By a Milvit it's good. It's impossible the way it says. So the Tanakama seems to be, the first Tana says that the Kiddushin is valid, even though the girl spent every last penny is good. Reb Shimon ben Alozer Raymeh, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Reb Shimon Alozer says in the name of an earlier Tana, Rabbi Meir, the Milva Harehi Tipi Kodon. That by the Halvor that the boy had lent the girl, has the same din as the Pikadon. The Hainu, that what? That if she spends so much that there isn't a Shavah Pruta left at the time that he proposes and he says, Hari Emel Kodesh Esli, then the Kiddushin is no good. But if she had spent part of it, and part of the money is still Kayom, part of the loan that he had given her is still there, and there's still a Shavah Pruta's worth, then it will be a good Kiddushin. So what do you see? The Tanakama argues with Rab Meir. But Ad Kan Lo Pligi Elo, the only point of argument is, the Mars of a Milve, the one Tana holds up, Tanakama, the first Tana is of the opinion, even if the girl spent every last penny, it's still a good Kiddush, still good. Umar Sovar, the second Tana, in the name of Rav Meir, is of the opinion, Ishtari Meneshav Pruta, and if there's a penny's worth left, if there's a Shav Pruta's worth, just like by the Pikodon, then it's good Kiddush. Beloy Ishtari Meneshav Pruta, and if she had spent all the money, is loy, then it's not good Kiddushin. But this, they all agree, if she didn't begin to spend any money yet, then it's certainly good Kiddushin. That's mamish, everybody's against Rav. This is not even Lemi Kitanoi. First the Gemara said before, Lemi Kitanoi. Sounds like it's an argument. Now the Gemara says, Meitzvei, they're all against Rav. Everybody in the Braisa is against Rav. That they only argue in the case where she spent every last penny of the halva and there's nothing left. But in the case where there's still Avad Kuli Alma, but they all agree, that if the girl didn't begin to spend the money yet, Mekadosh Milveh is Mekudeshes, then it is good Kiddush. The Gemara says the Braisa seems to be against Rav. So the Gemara says, can't be. Omar Rava, the Rava says, V'tizbara, but think for a minute, what's the Svara here? Hometaretz Tehi, does this Braisa read straight? Metaretz means a Braisa that stands correct. That there's nothing wrong with the reading, with the text of the Braisa. He says, what are you talking about? Hometaretz Tehi, this Braisa doesn't make any sense. What's going on? By the Pikadon you say you have to have a Shavah Pruta left. By the Havod you don't have to affect the high Pikadon Hechidami. What kind of a Pikadon is it? What kind of a pikadon? There's a shem echinam and there's a shem esachar. The shem echinam, and what happened over here? It says she came. The girl came home from the day. The boy proposed at 9:10, and they come home from the date, and they find out that it had been stolen before the time that he had proposed to her. So it says, Hocho, she goes back home, and Matzoso, she discovers, Shenigna by Shavat. Either a Gneva occurred, or an Aveda occurred. Either the Pikodin was stolen, or the Pikodin was lost. So what's the din? When a Shomer is watching my Pikodin, and a Gneva or an Aveda occurs, am I responsible to make good for that Pikodin? Or not? So the halacha distinguishes between a shem echinam as opposed to a shem esachar. Shem echinam, who doesn't get paid for watching, he just does it as a favor, he does it for nothing. It's part of the Gneva Aveda, he's only chayav in shia, if he's posheya. If he was negligent and it's his fault that the object was stolen, he leaves the golden ring, he leaves the diamond ring in the house, and he leaves the door open, he leaves the windows up, and he goes away for the day. Or he leaves it in the park, he leaves it on a desk in the park, he walks away. So that's a pshia. So if a pshia occurs and then it's stolen, then it gets lost. So it's obviously the responsibility of the shem echinam to pay. But if he locked the door and everything, and a gneva occurs or an aveda occurs, then the shem echinam is not responsible. But the shem esachar is chayav in gneva aveda. So the Gemara says, well, what kind of a pikadon was it? When the boy had given the girl this diamond ring or this watch or whatever, or the money as a pikadon, was it given to the girl as a shomer echinam or as a shomer esachar? Is she getting paid for watching it or not? That's what the Gemara wants to know. Hi pikadon, you correct Rava, hi pikadon, hechi domi. When the Brisa starts off speaking about a pikadon, what kind of a shomeris was the girl? E the kobal aleach rayis. If the girl accepted responsibility, means that she's a shomesochar. That if a gneva or an aveda will occur, she will be held responsible. So why does the Brisa draw a distinction between a pikadon on the one hand, as opposed to a halvoe? Why is it by a halvoa, let's say the Brisa says, if the girl spent all the money by the halvoa, so one Tana says the Kedushin is still good. Why is the Kedushin still good? She spent all the money. There's nothing left. So the answer is it doesn't matter. She spent all the money, but she owes me the money. She spent $100,000, she owes me the $100,000. And if I say, Harei Mekudeshesli, I relieve you of paying the $100,000, so this Tana, we don't pass like that. This Tana sounds like he says that it's good Kedushin. So the Gemara asks, so why not say the same thing by the pikadon? The girl is holding on to my pikadon, and she discovers, I proposed to her at 9:10, she comes home, she finds out it was stolen or it was lost. Stolen, lost, she still has to pay for it. And then I say, I relieve you of paying for it. When I say you can keep the pikadon, means if the pikadon is still around, you can keep the diamond ring. And if it's not around, then it's stolen or it's lost, you don't have to pay me for it. So it's right, I'm relieving her of the payment of the debt of $100,000. So why does the Tana distinguish between a pikadon as opposed to a milgim?
The big difference is Halvoa, she spent, she's got dresses in the closet, she bought a new car, she bought something, so she has some. Here she lost it completely, she didn't get anything. Somebody stole it, she had nothing.
But the minute that the Gnei have you, but the minute that the Gnei, it's a good time, but the Gemara holds it's not.
To be the same thing he has to give back.
Right. But the Godly have to give back the same thing if you can, but if you can't give it back, are you obligated to pay? So it depends who you are. If you're a Shem Echinam and a Gnei Vaveda occurs, then you're not obligated to give back. So then we understand why the Kedushin is not valid. If the girl is only Shem Echinam and a Gnei Vaveda occurred, Motzah Shenigna Voshavad, then of course the Kedushin is no good. He says, Harem Kudeshis, and there's no ring there. And she's not Mukhif to pay him back anything. It's a Gnei Vaveda of Shem Echinam, so he's not relieving her of anything. He didn't give her anything, he didn't relieve her of any payment. But the Gemara says, if she is Kabbalah Lo Achrayis, if she's a Shem Esachar who accepted responsibility for Gneva Aveda,
if it was lost, she's not Chayyid.
An Oinus not. No, but it doesn't say an Oinus. No, it doesn't say an Oinus. No, Gneva Aveda. Gneva Aveda means Gneva Aveda. Shem Esachar is Chayyid.
If you need some Chadaita by issue, if you need some Chadaita, you have to have some kind of. Her feeling is different. Your mom is. She spent, she knows she had something for spending. It was on a ball and she spent it. And here she doesn't have nothing out of it. She's completely lost.
At the time that she thought that she's getting $100,000, then it turned out that he just relieved her of paying her a debt. I don't know. So this is what the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, this Brisa doesn't read straight Bechlal. There's something that has to be reread over here. This Brisa is Mishabeshta. There's an error here. Because high pikadon hechidon, what kind of a shomeris is the girl? Was he shem echinam or was she a shem esach? Either kabbalah leach rayis. If the girl accepted responsibility like a shem esachar, so affect the Gemara. And then the boy says, Harei Mekudeshesli, you don't have to give back the Pikadon. And it turns out the Pikadon was stolen already. So what do you mean you don't have to give it back? I relieve you of paying for the Pikadon. So if you leave the paying the Pikadon, then it's the same as Milveh. That you tell me in the Sefer there's one Tana who is of the opinion that if he lent her $1,000 and she spent every last penny of it, and he says, Harei Mekudeshesli, I relieve you of paying me the $1,000, that's good Kiddushin. We say it's no good. But one Tana says it's good, so let him say it's good in the Reisha also. Why did the Reisha say if there isn't even a Shavat Puta left from the Pikadon, that it's not a good Kiddushin? Why? It's the same thing. Haina Milvet should be the same as Milvet. So it must be that she's a Shameres Chinam. She didn't accept responsibility. Frag the Gemara, Idel Kabbal Aleach Rayis. If that's the case, that she did not accept the responsibility of Gneva Ve'aveda, so when she comes home, she finds out it was stolen. It turns out the Chosin gave her absolutely zero, because the object wasn't there at the time that he proposed Harei Mekudeshesli, but the Pikadon is not there anymore. And by his statement that she can keep it, he's not even relieving her of payment. She wouldn't have had to pay him anyway, because she was only a Shem Echinam. So that's a good pshat in the Reisha, but the Gemara says, then you can't continue to read the Brice. He deloy kavla le'achrais, she's a Shem Echinam. Frag the Gemara, if so, so then the Sefer doesn't make sense. Ah, the Tani Sefer, instead of reading in the Sefer, ube milveh, the Brice starts off with Pikadon. Then it says, if it's Shavaprut of the Pikadon is left, is a good Kiddushin. If you don't have a Shavaprut of the Pikadon left, the Kiddushin is no good. Then the Brice continues. But if it's a case of a halva, then even if she spent all the money, it's a good Kiddushin. So Frag the Gemara, why does it have to switch from a case of Shem Echinam to jump all the way to a case of a halva? Just go to the next door case. If it's not a Shem Echinam, but it's rather a Shem Esachar, well, the Shem Esachar and the girl will be held responsible to pay for the Gneva Aveda, and the boy said, Harei Mekudeshesli with the Pikadon, and it was stolen already, so then he's relieving her of payment for the Pikadon. Then quote the Tana, that one Tana says it's good Kiddushin. Why does the Braisa make a contrast between Shem Echinam as opposed to Halvor? Make two things that are close to each other, make a better contrast. Shem Echinam as opposed to Shem Esachar. E hachi freg di Gemara, if the ratio of the Braisa is limited dafke to Shem Echinam, ah, the Tani Sefer, instead of writing in the Sefer of the Braisa, Ubi Milveh, the contrast is between Pikadon and Halvor. Half a Pishlamish Tarmanish Avruta is a good Mekudesh, is a good Kiddushin. Frag di Gemara, Niflug v'nisne bedido. Let the Braisa distinguish, let it make a piluk. A plukta means a distinction, and write v'nisne and write in the Braisa bedido in the same case of Pikadon. In which case do I say that if the Pikadon is completely gone, you don't even have a Shavaputa left, that it's not a good Kiddushin if she's only a Shem Echinam. If it's a case, Shalei Kibla Leha Achrayis. But, Avol, if it's a case of Kibla Leha Achrayis, then Avgav Gadishtam and a Shavaputa should be good Kiddushin. So the Rav says the Braisa doesn't read straight. There's no doubt about it. You can't have a Braisa that's making a contrast between all the way over there and all the way over there. You have a contrast, two things that look similar, but there's a slight distinction, and that slight distinction makes a difference in din. You don't take two things that Kerachot Mizrach and Myers. The Rabbi says it's obvious that the Braisa doesn't read straight. Hello. So how do you reread the Braisa? To read, it's Hachi. We have to reread. Once you say there's an emendation, they take long weekends. They start on Thursday afternoon. They come back on Tuesday morning. And when they're there, they go very slow. Everything is very slow. Takan, they made peace in the Ramses. And at that time, they did a lot, but that was over 210 years. They made peace in the Ramses. It took them a long, long time to come up with the work that they did. They didn't work so hard. So the Rabbi Shalom tells them now, at the time of the Gula, that the time is now in your hands. The Mefarsh Machumish said this. Far another said that. That's the Pasha Pshat. Rabban Shalom gave them a mitzvah, gave us a mitzvah of Kriyas Aluch, and he said, now that we are becoming Bnei Chorin, we should do with our time the utmost. We shouldn't waste the time. We should use the time. Because whatever we'll use the time for will be ours. The money, the Rebach, whatever we'll gain, will not be taken away by the Balabatim. Everything will be ours. The Mefarsh Masei Adera HaPshat, that's why there's a special connection between Geula and Luach. That having a calendar and having placing meaning and significance to time only makes sense for Bnei Chayrit. And Eved doesn't have any hasog, doesn't have any musog, doesn't have any understanding of time. Doesn't mean anything to him. Time rolls on and he can't make anything with his time anyway. He's not getting anywhere. He'll work his head off till the day that he dies and he won't gain anything out of it. So time doesn't mean anything. Time means a lot to us because we are Bnei Chayrit. That's the special tefillah, that's why we have these two connected. That's why there's a special connection between Geula and the mitzvah of Kriya Saluch.
But what about the Zayim, they're not
having? They work for themselves. Those who work for themselves.
Bye.